and turn to Job chapter number 15. Job chapter number 15. We've been studying here on Wednesday nights the subject of growth in the Christian life. This is lesson number 41. It's hard to believe. 41 times we've spoken on this subject. The lesson tonight is called Growing a Positive Spirit. Growing a Positive Spirit. Job chapter 15. Why don't you stand with me real quick here? Job chapter 15. We're going to start with verse 11. Job 15, verse 11, and we're going to read through verse number 13. Job chapter 15, verse 11. The Bible says, "Are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doth thine heart carry thee away? And what do thy eyes wink at? That thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous?" Look back at me if you will, please. Notice there in verse number 14, it said that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. Someone had become negative, and it's being pointed out. Their spirit had turned in such a way that it was against God. Now their mouth is revealing what's in their spirit. The lesson is about our having a positive spirit. And let me pray for us, and then we'll talk. Father, bless the lesson, please. Holy Spirit of God, help each of us. Might we be challenged tonight in a very unique and a special way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Your attitude has a lot to do with everything in life. Some people say attitude is everything. And I want to talk to you some about our spirit and making sure that our spirit is a positive spirit, or our attitudes may be being positive attitudes. There's an old saying about attitude. You've heard someone talk about a glass of water, looking at it, and you fill it up halfway, and you ask the question, now to you, is that glass half full or half empty? I'm going to illustrate that for you tonight, if I can. I've got my glass there, and this is some water. It has food coloring in it. And so the old saying is, that glass right there, to some, is half full. That glass to others is half empty. That depends on your attitude, half full or half empty. Of course, the attitude that it's half full, that's a good attitude. Half empty, that's not such a good attitude. But there are people that when they look at that, they right away, they say, well, where's the rest of it? Now, if you were thirsty real bad, you'd say, I'll just take what's there. Just give me what's there. Now, there's some that look at it and say, boy, that looks like a nice glass of water. Well, it's green right now, so it probably doesn't. But that thing is either half full or half empty. And everybody here, you will calculate that with your attitude. Now, let me show you something. I have another glass. Now, what's that glass? It's full. Same amount of water. It's an amazing thing. Your concept or your perception, it kind of depends on your expectation. There's the same amount of water in that, but we immediately say, boy, that's a lot of water. That's full. Now, we put the same amount of water in that glass, and then we debate the amount. But I think it has something to do with our expectation. I think it has something to do with our desires. I think it has something to do with our perception. There's the same amount of water in both of those. But to some, you'd say, well, I'll take the full glass. Well, this glass had just as much in it as this one would have. But it's our perception. And I think, again, I go back to, I think it is our expectation. You know, the people that would look at this half full and be pleased are people that are probably easier to please. The people that look at this half full and they wanted more might be people a little harder to please, may have a bit of covetousness in them, may be hard to satisfy. Are you a hard to satisfy person? And let me tell you what makes some of us hard to satisfy. God's given you enough somewhere along the line that you want more. You think you deserve more. Your parents, you had some things growing up, so now you demand to have those things, and you expect to have those things. So if you got a half a glass, you'd say, well, where's the rest of it? Your expectations have risen. Just the thought, half full or half empty. That's an attitude. Has something to do with your attitude or your spirit. In Job chapter 15, we were reading earlier, and a man by the name of Eliphaz is speaking, and Eliphaz makes this statement. He says, turn thy spirit against God. Now, in the Bible, folks, when you see the word spirit, if the word spirit has a capital S, that means it is the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, and so it is capitalized because that's God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But when you see the word Spirit and it's small case, that means it's not part of the Godhead, it's not the Holy Spirit, that means it's man's spirit. In this passage, it says that thou turnest thy spirit against God. That means that man's spirit or my spirit. It's talking about the spirit of an individual. I often will compare our spirit with our attitude. It's our spirit that releases our attitude or demonstrates our attitude, if you will. But that's a small s. And here it's being said that your spirit, your attitude has turned on God. Can I tell you something? Look right this way. Church is very important. Let's pay attention. Let me tell you something. You ought to have a right attitude toward God. But here it's talking about somebody had their spirit toward God has become bad. And then it even goes on. It says, let us such words go out of thy mouth. I'm going to tell you something. Your spirit affects your speech. Your spirit, your attitude. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit now. And by the way, the Holy Spirit does affect your speech. But I'm here to say to all of us, our spirit affects our speech. And Eliphaz here said, your spirit's sour. It's not toward God like it ought to be. It's not in harmony with God like it ought to be. And then he said, and that's affected the way you talk. Let me tell you, you come into church with a bad spirit, you'll say things to people and they won't be good things. You'll send the wrong signal. Let me ask you something. Would people consider you a person of a positive spirit or a negative spirit? I know a person who has great, great ability, tremendous talent, but they have a negative attitude. And that negative attitude overshadows their abilities and their talents and limits them severely. A preacher boy from a Bible college called me today. He said, I'm in a class. He said, I am required to talk to a pastor and that I'm to interview a pastor. He said, can I interview you? I said, sure. I've had about a dozen, 15 guys from that college call me and they wanted to interview me. And said, well, I'm to interview you about discussing how you would hire an assistant pastor. What are the things that you would watch for? And we went through a series of things, and I told him what I would watch for and the things that I would watch for. Then I told him this. I said, I would want to make sure that he had good ministry ability. And then I followed it with this. I said, but more important than his ministry ability is his ability with people and his spirit toward people. And the student said, well, Brother Owens, what do you mean? I said, I know all sorts of people that maybe know something about music or maybe know something about a bus or maybe know something about maintenance, but they got bad attitudes and they can't get along with people and they don't know how to lead people and they don't know how to be gentle with people and they go around offending people all the time. I said, I don't want people on my staff that are offensive. There's enough problems in a church without having staff members that go around causing fusses and fights and can't get along with people all the time. And so what am I talking about? I'm talking about our spirit. Folks, you could know everything about something and virtually be worthless because that something can't be shared with people because of your attitude or your spirit. Lady said to me in counseling, she said, my dad never had anything positive to say. Now, some of you, if you grew up that way and you say, my dad was just always negative, or my mom was just always negative, could I warn you? Often people that grew up and mom and dad were negative all the time, their child grows up and they're negative all the time. Man, because they're around that and they were around it so much, they didn't even recognize it. Now, I'm not saying that's true 100%. But I am telling you that people that grew up with a negative mom and a negative dad, negative in attitude, negative in spirit, you stand a wonderful chance of inheriting that poor behavior. Man said to me, my wife is so negative about everything. Then I talked to his wife and said, my husband, he's negative about everything. Truth of the matter is, they're both negative. They are both negative. And the wife does not recognize it about herself, and the husband does not recognize it about himself, but they do recognize it about the other. And some people are just negative. And I feel sorry for people that have to live in negative situations all the time. That negative spirit's always negative. They always look at the dark side of things, the downside of things. And there are people in this room, you're a half-empty person. First thing you notice is what you don't have instead of what you do have. And the first thing you notice is the negative instead of the positive. And somebody has to live with you like that. And I'm going to tell you this. People all the time say to me, now, Brother Owens, tell me if you see something in me that you think I ought to change. And preacher, just tell me if there's something about me that needs to change. I'm going to tell you right now, it's very hard to tell negative people that they're negative. You say, why? Well, they'll be negative towards you because you told them they were negative. And you might think I'm being silly, but what I just told you is exactly the truth. You tell someone who has got a negative spirit and a negative attitude that they are negative, probably they're going to come after you with that negative attitude or that negative spirit. So it's a hard thing to do. So preacher, what do? Well, you stand up on Wednesday night and you teach it. You say, are you talking to me? Oh, no, you're the sweetest person I know. I've never heard you be negative about anything. Did you hear about the young man that decided to go into the priesthood? He went to a monastery, and he was there, and they told him, they said, well, you're going to be sworn to silence for 10 years. You can't even talk. He said, all right. He was there for 10 years. They brought him to the high priest's office, and the high priest said, look, you've been here 10 years. You have anything you want to say? He said, food's bad. The priest said, okay. He went about his business. 10 years later, now 20 total years, 10 years later, he said, look, you're allowed to speak two words. What do you have to say? He said, bed hard. He said, okay. Sent him back. 30th year, the guy comes in and they say to him, do you have anything to say? You have two words. He said, I quit. And the guy in charge said, well, you might as well. You've done nothing but gripe since you got here. But you know, there are people that I'll promise you what they seen on Sunday were the negatives. That's all you talked about. That's all you went home and you talked about how hot it was and you talked about how it was packed and the parking was bad and the negative and the negative and the negative. And let me tell you something, if you're like that, you leave the rest of our folks alone because I don't want that attitude in my church. You say, preacher, are you talking to me? Oh no, I'm not talking to you. It can't be you that's like that. Now, I want to help you not to have, I want you to have a positive spirit. And I'm going to teach you some things about it tonight, and I think it will help you. Number one, you'll not be a positive person if you read all the negatives in the news and on the internet all the time. You will not be a positive person. You'll not have a positive spirit if you read all the negatives in the news, in the newspapers and with the blogs or whatever that is. Psalm 27:13 says, it uses these words, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Here's somebody wanting to see goodness. Now, folks, let me tell you. Can I tell you how you can have a negative or a down spirit? Go every day and read the obituaries. Every day. Read about death. Read the letters to the editor. Read the column that is the column of contention. Read about all the arrests. Read about all the postings on the divorces. And you know what? If you go to the news and read the negatives, you'll sour your spirit. You'll sour your spirit. You're going to find out. Christian newspapers. Every once in a while, a Christian newspaper will get their idea. It's their job to spread negative about some other, you know, someone in the faith, and they want to spread that all over the country. Now, we have some Christian newspaper that's given to us, but I'll tell you this. If that Christian newspaper ever starts attacking other good fundamental Baptists, I'll just throw that thing in the trash and we won't take it anymore, because we don't need that. I mean, you got that, you got enough of that in the secular printed arena. Why do we need Christians doing that sort of a thing? But you will not be a positive person if you read all the negatives in the newspaper and you're all the time reading through the blogs or whatever that is on the internet. You're going to find yourself with a negative spirit. Number two, you'll not be a positive person if you watch all the negative things on the television's news. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:8 mentions this. It mentions dishonor by evil report. Do you realize that on the news there is so much negative, it'll sour your day? The news can be depressing. Well, I'm not saying that you should not stay abreast of what's going on, but how many times you have to watch it? Have you noticed that they hardly ever, on whether it's NBC, ABC, Fox News, CBS, they hardly ever report positives? They're not going around looking for positives to report. Some of you, you know, you wake up in the morning and one of the first things you do is you go to the news and you virtually start your day with depression. Because first thing you do is turn on the television to watch the news and find out the sky's falling and everybody's dying and everything's going wrong and everybody lost their money and milk gives you cancer and air gives you cancer and water gives you cancer. Did you know on the news they report death? They report death, not life. How often do you hear them on the news say there were this many babies born that were healthy today? That's encouraging, right? When you hear about a baby that's born and it's healthy, that's encouraging. But what do? You turn it on and say, well, this person died and this guy got drunk and he wrecked his car and he died and this guy got shot. They don't report good. They report the negative. They report hate, not love. Think about it. Do they get on the news and say, hey, guess what? These two stars in Hollywood, they're in love. No. They tell you these two stars in Hollywood, they're in hate. They're getting divorced. Him for the 9th time and her for the 13th time. They report war, not peace. When's the last time you turned on the news and they told you how many countries in the world are at peace right now? And by the way, you say, why do they do that? Because the human race tends toward the negative and it sells, so they give you what you want. And then the human race wants to know why they're so depressed. They report sickness, not health. When's the last time you turned the news on and they said, let us tell you how many people are healthy in the state of North Carolina? They don't do that. They tell you about everybody sick. So I'm telling you that you're going to have to protect your spirit. If you want to have a positive spirit, you better watch what you read in the news. You better watch what you listen in the news, because it'll affect your spirit. Number three, you'll not have a positive spirit if you watch negative television shows. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The entertainment field has a big chunk of it that is very depressing. Did you know that if you start watching a diet, a consistent diet of shows about serial killers, you'll have yourself half freaked out, scared of the dark? And some of you let your kids watch that and you wonder why they have nightmares. You wonder why they can't sleep. Even in their cartoons. If your kids watch cartoons and people getting blown away all the time and there's murder and death and blood, do you know, it maybe that could affect your child's spirit. I might throw their video games in there, but that's not what I'm preaching on right now. But you will not be a positive person if you watch negative things on the television. Look, there are all sorts of shows, and to some degree we entertain ourselves with things that hurt us. If all you watch are just constantly shows with negative, and it's all about prison and all about the police and all about breaking the law and all about negative and all about bad, and then you want to know why you and your wife can't get along. You can't sort through anything. Every time there's a fuss, you tell her, up against the wall. And you're wondering what's wrong. Maybe if you didn't watch so much negative, you wouldn't have such a negative attitude, a law-breaking attitude. And I'll tell you what, the amount of evil that we pump into our homes, the witchcraft. We never in our home allowed the witchcraft kind of things to be toyed with, where whether it be in games or toys or videos or whatever it was. And then today, you watch blood drinking with vampires, and it entertains you. But that's demonic, just so you know. And then some of the sci-fi and the blood and the guts and the gore, and some of you, you just eat it up. You also, some of you have morbid attitudes. It'll wear on you. The death, the demons, the hell. It's depression entertainment. And if you watch enough of it, your spirit's going to go down. Not up. Some of you need to wean yourself off of it, maybe change your attitude. It would help you. Some of you help you get along with your kids better. You know the fact, goodness, I've heard people say things. And to me, this is so sad. To ever hear a Christian say, I ought to kill him. I ought to kill her. How did you get so mean and nasty and hateful? Well, I'll tell you why. You watch it all the time. So, you better be careful of your spirit, your attitude. Let me say number four, you'll not be a positive person if you have negative friends. Proverbs 27:17, it says, a man is to sharpen the countenance of his friends. Hey, you ever heard someone say, if you lay down with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas? If you play with a pig, you're going to smell like one, and probably your tail will curl when you get done. But if you want to be a positive person, then you're going to have to stay away from negative people. I have spent my life trying to protect my spirit. I want to make sure that my spirit doesn't get down or nasty or negative. You say, why? Well, that's when I get vengeful, hateful. I want to strike back. I want to hurt people. I have to protect my spirit. I want God to use me. I want New Testament Christianity, which is to love your enemies and be good to those that despitefully use you. That's the kind of Christianity I want. And that's the kind of Christianity, thank God, to this date, I have practiced. But you get negative friends, you'll end up being a negative person. I'm very careful even getting around preachers. There are just some preachers, you can sit down to fellowship with them, and all they want to do is talk about all the negatives of fundamentalism. That makes some of them feel like King Tut, like they really something because they know something bad about somebody else. I just want to jap slap them and tell them to shut up and go home to mama. I can't stand that kind of attitude, so I just kind of avoid them. There are times I won't go out to eat with the preacher's fellowships. You say, why? Because you know what they want to do? They want to talk about people, and they want to be negative. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be a positive spirited person if you're spending time with negative people. And some of you need to be very careful. Because some of you are a negative person and you get around a negative person and then there's no one to stop it. Two women that are not happily married that get together, if they're not careful, they will just have their husbands. They'll have a husband fry and burn him all day long. Two husbands that are not happily married, they could get together and tell wife jokes and trash their wives all day long. Two teenagers that are upset with mom and dad can get together and trash mom and dad all day long. And I'm telling you, that's bad news. You're developing a raunchy spirit. Now, I'll help a man that's got a rough marriage. I'll help a woman that's got a rough marriage. But as far as a casual friend to spend a bunch of time with them, I can't afford that. You say, well, I've got to keep a right spirit toward my wife. But you can't be a positive person and spend all your time with negative people. Let's move on. Number five, you'll not be a positive person if you listen to negative talk radio. Radio's pretty popular still. They got different ways of getting it to us, but it's still popular. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, some of your commentators or the men on the radio, they're very negative. All day long, negative about the economy. All day long, negative, negative, negative. Hey, I'm sad about parts of the economy. I'm sad about the government, but good gravy, all day long. And some of you, that's all you listen to, all day long. Then you get home and you snap at your wife. You can't get along with people around the church. At work, you rub everybody raw. Well, what have you been doing? You've been feeding your spirit with negative. There are some radio stations, commentators on the radio. They're always on the attack. They're always out to get someone. And some of you, then you become like that. You virtually go home and become a lawyer with your spouse because you heard that radio fella that was like a lawyer on the radio, and you just picked up his tendencies, and vice versa. But you can't be a positive person and listen to negative radio all day long. Number six, you'll not be a positive person or have a positive spirit if you listen to negative music. Ephesians 5:19 talks to us about speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you know rock and roll music is negative music. Country music's negative music. For the most part, you dance with somebody else's wife and getting drunk and getting high and the whole nine yards. Your rap and your hip-hop, it's negative music. Listen, music, I even believe music that specializes in using minor chords within it is depressing music. There's a certain way that even what we would call good-worded music can use the wrong chording, and it affects the body, and it's got a depression effect on people. But you will not be a positive person if you spend all your time listening to negative music. Yo, everybody okay? All right, okay. Y'all still with me? Okay, all right. Number seven. You say, how many points are there? I don't know. Sometimes I usually number things with Roman numerals, but they get so big and so hard sometimes I can't figure out what. But we're not there yet. Number seven. You'll not be a positive person if you read negative books. You can't have a positive spirit if you spend all your time reading negative books. Ecclesiastes 8:17 says, I beheld all the works of God. In other words, somebody was looking for the works of God. Now, let me tell you, you read books about negative things, you're going to create a mess for yourself. If you read books about the negative thing of adultery, you're going to end up being negative. You read books that are all about murder, you're going to ruin your spirit. You read books that are all about morbid death, you're going to hurt yourself. You constantly read books that include divorce and immorality and the breaking of the law, you'll ruin your spirit. So, I think you ought to be reading things that would glorify God, and it will lift your spirit. Number eight, you will not be a positive person if you pray negatively all the time. And I like this point. You will not be a positive person if you pray negatively all the time. Deuteronomy 3:25, it says, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good. Someone was asked, the word pray, asked. They were asking to see the good in life. Look, if all you do when you go to prayer is complain, I know people pray like that. Oh, God, it's so bad. Oh, God, it's so bad. This is bad, that is bad, this is bad, that is bad, this is bad, that is bad, this is bad, that is bad. God's looking down saying, man, you gag me. Everything I did for you, But all you do is pray negative. I've told people, if I were you, I wouldn't be praying about that all the time unless you can figure out the right way to pray about it. Because some of you, I'll tell you why you're depressed. All you do is go to God and gripe and complain about that thing, and you virtually have yourself depressed during prayer. And you think it's spiritual to be depressed during prayer. I don't think it is. That's a place where you can go and be alleviated of the pressure, not go and create more of it. That's way too real for some of you. That's one reason why one of the things we ought to do when we're alone with God is to praise Him. And you say, well, my life is just so bad. Well, it could get worse. You say, well, I don't think it could. Well, maybe God ought to just prove to you it could get worse. You'll regret taking that alternative. See, if your prayer time is nothing but telling God everything that's wrong with your wife, or everything that's wrong with your husband, or everything that's wrong with your church, and everything that's wrong with America, and everything that's wrong with everybody, it's no wonder you get off your knees and you're depressed. Now, if you're going to sincerely pray about negative needs, fine. But you know what? There are a lot of other things that you ought to be talking with God about as well. Did you know you don't have to inform God about that person that's not doing right? You think you need to tell Him? Oh, God, sister so-and-so down at the church, and you know what she's up to, and I'll just give you the details. Oh, God, I love her so much, I need to tell you everything I know about her. Hey, Sugar Plum, God already knows. He was hoping you'd have compassion on her and pray for her sincerely that she would succeed, not fail, and that it wasn't a gossip session for you to be able to go and hear yourself again say how bad she is and how good you are. Yeah, don't you think God can figure out what you're doing? Let's see, that was a good one. I won't have any more in here like that. But you will not end up with a positive spirit if you're negative in your prayer life. Hey, you're a negative person because you're a negative receiver instead of a negative rejecter. And listen, let me say it again. You're a negative person because you're a negative receiver instead of a negative rejecter. Proverbs 25:23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." You know what that's saying? If somebody comes to you and they want to be a backbiter, you're to let them know you have no interest in hearing their gossip or slander. I'll read it again and listen to it. The north wind driveth away rain. It's talking about something being driven away, and God's about to make a comparison. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. You say, what's that mean? Jonathan comes to me and he's going to backbite. He's going to try to criticize Matthew, and I don't want to listen to it. So when Jonathan starts to talk, I go, and Jonathan puts his tail between his legs and he runs. But God is saying, send the signal. You're not a receiver of trash. So my statement is, you're a negative person because you're a negative receiver instead of a negative rejecter. You enjoy heavy negatives about people. I don't. I hate it. You know, you want to know something? I don't want people to be wrong. There's sometimes people they just love to hear that so-and-so is wrong. I don't want to hear that they're wrong. I'd rather hear that they're right. I don't want people to be guilty. When I go into counseling sessions and I go into private meetings, I am just hoping and have every finger and every toe crossed that they're innocent rather than guilty. But some people just can't wait to find out somebody's guilty of something. And some of you need to listen to me very carefully. I want people to succeed, not fail. There are husbands and wives under the sound of my voice right now. Your attitude toward each other is as if you want your spouse to fail. You want your spouse to fail. Grow up! You should not want your spouse to fail. Well, they hurt me. Well, you hurt God, and He doesn't want you to fail. I mean, it is almost like I want him to fail and I want her to fail and I'll do anything that I can to make sure that I'm not a contributor to their success. I think that's ridiculous. I think that's childishness and I think that's negative. And I think you've got a negative spirit if you're acting that way. Let's move on. You will not be a positive person if you constantly do negative Bible studies. You like that? Yeah. Let me read something to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And it goes on. You know, there's some of you, you take a verse like that and make it your life's verse. Say, it's everything just so bad in the last days. Can I tell you something? There are some people that they almost use the Bible to depress themselves. All they want to study are the negatives. I'm going to study about God's wrath on this terrible nation of ours. Then I'm going to study hell and the people that are going there. Then I want to study the chastisement of God upon disobedient children like you know who. Then I'm going to study the curses of the Bible. And your favorite person in the whole Bible is Job and their suffering. Matter of fact, you think your middle name should be Job. And some people, all they do is study the negative. Study the negative. Study the negative. Hey, there is chastisement in the Bible. And yes, in the last days, people will begin to fall away. But I'm going to tell y'all something. All across the United States of America, preachers are accepting the fact that in the last days you can't have revival, so they stop trying and they're not having it. And then there are some that say, yeah, but God said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and there'd be all sorts of people saved before the end time. Some people decided, well, let's kick in and capitalize on that instead of using the negative as an excuse to get out of being soul winners and church builders. You say, but the government is turning on us. Well, they turned on Paul. They've been turning on people for a long time. But does that mean you and I are supposed to stop doing what we're doing? We almost will use the Bible as a negative to try to get us out of doing what we're supposed to do. You can't get people to live right and have standards and dress right in this day and age because we're just too corrupt. We're in the end times. Phooey on that. That's laziness and foolishness and tomfoolery. You sure can. Doom and gloomers. It's almost morbid. You can get around certain preachers and all they do is, it's bad. It's bad. It's so bad. Everything is a conspiracy. Matter of fact, your wife is a conspiracy. Your three-year-old's in a conspiracy. I think there are all sorts of conspiracies. They've been going on all the way since the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, they've been going on since Isaiah chapter 14 when Lucifer conspired and they got thrown out of heaven. But you know something? That was not supposed to ruin or douse the spirit. No revival in this day and age. It can't be done. I've got 2 points. We'll be done and on our way. You will not be a positive person if you're a negative thinker. I showed you negative thinker. Half full or half empty. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are," and there's a long list. It talks about being lovely and good report. Think on these things. Folks, there's an attitude. There are people that look at their haves, and there are others that look at their have-nots. There's some that look at what God's given you, and others, you look at what you don't have right now. So you make yourself sad. And by the way, those of you that are covetous and you can't control your spending and you got to have everything and you're constantly blaying and you're always behind financially, you're probably one that looks at, you're a have-notter. You're always looking at what you don't have, and you got to have more. And you'll depress yourself that way if you're not careful. There are those that look at the bills that you have paid, and there are others you spend all the time looking at the one bill that's not paid. Now, I think there is a reality check. I believe in paying my bills. Matter of fact, anybody here, you can check on any part of my finances and you can look and see if I pay my bills on time. We have paid one bill late, to my knowledge, in 34 years of marriage, and it was an accident. We pay all of our bills on time. I would go without food and I would go without water to pay my bills on time. I believed that way all my life, but I'm going to tell you, some of you are so negative, you always look at what's not done instead of what's done. And if you're not careful, you're going to be looking at what God has not done for you instead of what God has done for you. And I'll tell you, everybody here has a reason to have a good spirit because God has done more for you than what you have not received. But you're a half-empty person. You'll not be a positive person if you're a negative thinker. My mother-in-law, today would have been her birthday. She would have been 92 years of age. Her name was Gertrude. Really, honestly. Her name was Gertrude. She had sugar diabetes and she had a toe that got infected, and it ended up getting to the point where they had to cut her leg off. Right before she went into surgery where they're going to cut her leg off, she had to mark the leg. And some say, well, what are you worried about? I said, well, I want them to cut off the right one. She was hilarious. She came out and there were people feeling sorry for her, saying, Mom, we feel so bad about your leg. She said, what are you feeling so bad about? I still have another one. I like that attitude. I like that attitude. Because there are some people that were born without any legs. She had one more than they did. But our expectation becomes high. We think we deserve, so you all understand. When you say, well, I think I deserve better than what I've got right now with my husband, with my wife, with my kids, with my finances, what you deserve is hell. And anything you have is better than what you deserve. You see, our spirit. If you want a positive spirit, you got to get a positive outlook. And I'm not afraid of the realities of life. I understand the realities of life. I also understand that my attitude is my choice. There are people going through your identical situation and are not hateful and mean and nasty and vile. They have good spirits. People, exactly. Matter of fact, there are people going through worse things than you. There are 10 times better Christians than you. It's a choice. I'm done. Last point. Number 12. You will not be a positive person if you're guilty of personal pride. Because personal pride's a negative, and I'll tell you why. Because everybody else is wrong, and you're right. So you're negative toward the wrong. Pride creates a negative attitude. Humility sure makes you positive. True humility says this: God's always right. And I fall in the category of the human race. It's fallen race. It's tainted. But God's always right. So watch it. That negative attitude probably has somewhere in it roots in the subject called pride. This is what Eliphaz said. That thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. Your spirit affects your speech. It won't do you any good to come and see me and say, preacher, am I negative? I won't tell you. I won't. Let the Holy Spirit tell you. If you're really wondering that, maybe He's already working on you. Now, there's some negative people right now saying, well, I'm glad you know so-and-so heard this. I hope he listens. I hope she listens. I wish they were here. I wish you were totally here. Don't miss it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A simple lesson on growth in the area of a positive spirit or attitude. We're going to have an altar call. In a moment, I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. We'll all stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Won't be but just a few minutes. We'll be on our way. If you will, Mrs. Young, begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You can't tell a negative person they're negative because they'll use that negativity against you. They may turn into your enemy. You'll be wrong, they'll be right. We put that water in that cup. Same amount of water, two different size cups. In one, you'd immediately say it's full. In another, you'd say it's half full. But I think sometimes it is our expectation in life. When we expect more, desire more, and require more, we're harder to please. Brother Nofsinger, if you will, find the prayer sheets. We'll very quickly review them. You boys and girls, you spend time at school with a negative talker, you'll come home and you'll be negative. This is the last time through the song. We'll be done and on our way. All right, have a seat real quick.